I know I overkill when I say it, but this is so important this morning. This principle, I'm going to try to share with you what God has given to me about his character and who he is. A lot of my preaching swirls around God's ways and God's will. It makes sense that the Bible is about God and that you'd want to know who God is and what his ways are. And because the Bible says, basically, follow me. Follow me. Jesus said, follow me. I make you fishers of men. Follow me. Follow me. So if we're supposed to follow him, knowing who he is and what he's like is so important. It's all over the Bible. Today I want to talk to you about a characteristic of God. Now God, you all agree with this? God is light. He doesn't possess light. He is light. Now that's Bible. If you know the Bible at all, there can be no disagreement that the Bible teaches that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. So we know that to be true. So based on that foundation, that God is light. Well, what is that? That's telling you a little bit about who he is. Who he is, God's ways. God's ways are not our ways. That's another foundational truth you need to know. God's ways are not our ways. That's the principle. It's over and over again mentioned in Scripture. God's ways are not our ways. And you don't have to read the Bible very long without knowing that. Some of our biggest problem as Christians when we get saved is that we interpret God according to our ways and make him behave like we would behave. I don't think you can help this at the beginning because when you get saved, you're 99.999 world. And the lust of the world, lust of the flesh, all that. You get saved. The Holy Spirit comes in. He makes you, let's say, 5% God. And then the rest of us grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the rest of this whole thing is, growing in grace. I'm still growing. And so he makes you more and more, hopefully, like Jesus as you go along, as you read the Bible, as your knowledge increases the Word of God. But it's not simply knowledge. It has to do with experience and being convinced from the heart and seeing it. So you have to just live some. We cannot help but make him in our own image after our own likeness. We are blind to his way of thinking, and we have the world's way of thinking as our majority. We need outside help as Christians to get it right. Consequently, we've been given the Bible. The Bible, and I said this the other day, is given to the church, not the world. The world has not been given the Bible. The church has been given the Bible so they can be like God. The world has been given us. Ye are the light of the world. And nobody puts a candle under a bushel. He sets it on a hill so everybody can see. We are to be mingling among the world out there, showing them there's a better way. All men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Now, we know that God is love. Real love. Not lust. Real love. And the love of God abounds in our hearts and manifests itself. And as that love of God begins to work in us and the light of God begins to work in us and we begin to change and be different like Paul Carr, like Beverly Bowen, like Hal Riffle, we show the world the light of who Jesus is, who God is. And like many of you folks are in the process, and we are in the process of doing. The people of God are given to the world. We're the light. The only light in the world will ever see, the world that is from general revelation. They can look at the moon, the stars, and the sun, all that, and know that there is a God, must have made all that. They got their general revelation given to them through their consciences. Their consciences somewhat justify themselves or condemn themselves and have some sort of a loose law that may or may not agree with God, but it's a general revelation. But we have specific, the world also has specific revelation, the specific revelation of God's people. And then when they see God's people, they may go to the Bible and actually begin to search around in the Bible and find out who God is from the Bible. Now, they won't search around long in the Bible because without the Holy Spirit, the Bible's a confusing book. It cannot be understood. It's hodgepodge. It's what? Usually they start, like any book in America, in our part of the world, we start on the left and go to the right. So they start in Genesis. Well, by the time they hit the first genealogy, it's over. They can't pronounce half the names. I've had so many people tell me this. How far did you read the Bible? I got to chapter 10, that was it. Or they got past chapter 10 and hit chapter 15. And then there's one more genealogy. And so they either get, if they make it through the book of Genesis, through three genealogies, and all them names, all strange and different, it's amazing. And so I always tell them, don't start in the Old Testament, start in the New Testament, start in the book of John, in fact. Don't start in Matthew even. Matthew, Mark, Luke, now it'd be good, but start in John. Read John 10 times. Why? I think the clearest representation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is found in the Gospel of John, especially in chapter 3. But they have specific revelation only in God's people and the Word of God. Now, naturally, as earthborn people, we like to hide from embarrassment. In fact, I think I just asked Hannah Ludwig to sing with me, and she just said, no, 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 double no. And that's only because she's embarrassed to sing with this old man. It's an uncomfortable feeling. Or shame is also, we try to hide from shame, or exposure. We also try to hide as naturally, now I'm talking about the natural man, tries to hide from accountability. When Trump got up there and said, we're going to drain the swamp, which means make those people that receive them big paychecks accountable for what they're doing with their money, woo-wee, things hit the fan. Draining the swamp is talking about accountability of your actions. Where'd all that money go? What'd you do with it? But God's ways are not our ways. We all agree. We agree. If you know anything about the Bible, you got to agree with that. We like to avoid things naturally, but God does not like to avoid. He wants you to experience embarrassment, shame, exposure, and accountability. I can tell you, having experienced all of them, they're very uncomfortable at the moment you're going through them. But let me ask you this question. What part of you is uncomfortable? Isn't it the old man? Isn't it the flesh? Isn't it the earthy part of you that's uncomfortable? But the spirit, when you allow yourself to be embarrassed for Jesus or shame for Jesus or expose yourself as a sinner, unable to save yourself, and you make yourself accountable, the spirit rejoices in those things. But the flesh hates those things. Just proving that the Bible says your ways are not his ways, and his ways are higher above our ways, the heavens above the earth. If you naturally like to avoid these things, God wants you to experience them. Take your Bibles. This is Bible preaching. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. This is Bible preaching, as solid Bible as I know to preach. 1 Timothy 5, 19 through 20. Talking about a leader in the church, local church, a leader. When a leader has trouble, what should we do? Recently, we had trouble, horrible trouble. Trouble you'd like to never not be named once among you. But it happened. And when that trouble happened, we had to do we went to the Bible and says, what? We had all kinds of voices. Do this, do this, do it this way, do it this way, handle it this way, handle it that way. What we did here at the Gospels, we went back to the book and says, what would God have us to do? And this was part of our instruction was here. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. By the way, I don't think anybody ought to be convicted for anything without two or three witnesses. And everybody said, you better say amen, because you're vulnerable. Because some, especially you men, some old girl can be raised, when she finds out she's got a little money, she'll come up 30 years later and say, you know, he did this to me or he did that to me with no proof, no witnesses, but her word against his word. And trust me, that is not enough, according to the Bible. And that proves again that God's ways are not man's ways. You got to have proof. Proof is bigger than just my word against your word. against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, you shouldn't do it. But look at the next. If that elder sinned, and there were witnesses, and it was so, then the sin rebuke before what? Let's say that word together. All. That others also may fear. Now, well, who's an elder? An elder is a position of responsibility in the Bible. It's the same as a bishop. It's the same as a pastor. It is one position. This position has responsibility, much responsibility. And you know, with higher responsibility comes greater accountability. Do you know that, right? The higher you go, the more accountability and responsibility. So the more responsibility you're given, the higher accountability you're given. Now, that principle is true actually in the world as well as it is in the church and in with God. Now, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:17 that elders that rule well are to be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. But I say this, with double honor comes double responsibility, which then creates double accountability. Don't lose me, right? Double honor, double responsibility, double accountability. Makes sense to me, right? The President of the United States does something wrong. He should receive a stricter judgment than if just a citizen of our country does something wrong, according to the Bible. The Word of God is somebody that's given responsibility in the local church, raised up as an elder, a bishop, or pastor, does something wrong and sins. Though he's counted double honor, he also is counted double responsibility, eventually double accountability, to the fact that he is to be rebuked publicly before all. And that is transparency, right? What is transparency? It's not hiding. It's doing anything but hiding. It's doing the opposite of hiding. So the world, or the old nature of man without God, they don't understand this whole thing. They like to sweep offenses under the carpet. They like to pretend they didn't happen. They like to hide them from the church or the world. They don't want to name names. They want to keep it in secret. Did you know the Apostle Paul, you can prove me on this, 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul named six individual people that you should avoid by name. Well, if a preacher today gets up in a pulpit and says a specific person that may be a heretic or dangerous to you, and they name their name, people will go out that very day, tell that preacher, I don't like you naming names. I don't think it's right to do that. Well, then you're not doing what God wants to do. God is more interested in truth than he is interested in your feelings. The world likes to keep it secret. But if leadership sins, we're supposed to rebuke him before all. Now look at the tail, the end of that verse there. Why do you rebuke him before all? That others may fear. But let me say this on the upside of that whole thing. It also frees the one that offends. In other words, keeping something a secret and hiding it does not help the offender. It momentarily helps the offender, keeps him from what I said at the beginning, embarrassment and shame and you know, all that. But trust me, in the end, it hurts them. Because in the end, when they've swept that into the closet, the devil has a unique timing ability that when he can pull that closet door open and let that old skeleton come out. You know what the Christian's supposed to do? Don't put anything in the closet. Don't let their skeletons be. Confess your sins one to another. You're false. The word sins, but one to another. That doesn't mean we glorify sin or we go into great detail about sin. No. Just call it what the Bible calls it. If the Bible calls something adultery, call it adultery. The Bible calls something fornication, call it fornication. Don't describe the act. Don't go into great detail. But brother, you and I are best off as Christians when we are transparent about our lives. Because transparency is a sister of humility. Pride hides. Humility reveals. And God is transparent. And he wants us to be transparent. I'll tell you, when a person gets up, and when we had this problem 3 or so years ago, the person that had that problem had to come before the whole church. We did not try to keep that into a deacon's meeting or a deacon's committee or shove that thing into a little box somewhere and try to hide it. It was not possible to do that. It had already been out far enough. We got up and said, here's what happened. It was awful. The people that did it said it was awful. They repented of it. God forgave them. We forgave them. And today he's pastoring Calvary Baptist Church. Because God will restore you if you'll humble yourself. But if you try to hide it, he won't restore you. He won't restore you. And you'll struggle. Why? Because it's not like God. It's not his nature. And but our nature tells us, don't do it, don't do it. But when the church obeys God, here's what happens. When the church obeys God, and we're humble and transparent, we gain the confidence of the people. That there's not an elitism going on. Now, does this not parallel our government? There is a woman in our country that probably should go to jail. Considers herself, her husband's called Bulletproof Bill. They get where it's what they call the elitist mentality. That they can do something. How many times you watched the news in the last year or so and you said, if I'd have done that, I'd have been in jail so long ago that they'd have forgot who I was and what number I was and what color clothes I was wearing. If I would have done that, boom. But because they had a position, because they had a name, because they had power, that's the way the world operates. But brother and sister in Jesus, we don't operate that way. Why? We want to be like God operates. We want to do things according to God's way, not our way. We want to be transparent with what goes on. So, you obey the Bible. You get corrected before all. Because of violations in the Church of Jesus Christ through the years and people not obeying God's ways of transparency, at least in the church in general, confidence has been lost. Let me tell you this, from when I was a kid to now, preachers are not respected like they used to be. Just in the short period of my life. Because of the sins and betrayals and wolves that entered into the church and fleeced the children of God, the general, you know, there was a survey one time, I read it, and it hurt my feelings. But Brother Nott will appreciate this. A preacher, they rated people with respect. Who do you respect the most? What occupations do you respect the most? And they listed these occupations, right? You know who was at the bottom? Used car salesmen and preachers. Yeah, this baby here, she don't have but 50,000 miles on it. Of course, they took a drill and ran that thing back from 250,000. Oh, that was flooded down QS with software, but we're not going to tell you. Used car salesmen and preachers. Confidence has been lost because there hasn't been obedience. Respect has been lost. The listening ear of the public has been lost. I can tell you by living a little while that the attention, the ear of the lost, in a great part, the Bible-believing local church is lost. When we go door to door and we say we're from Gospel Baptist Church, well, I remember in the 60s, 70s, even 60s, late 60s when I called, people would invite you in, say, preacher, well, man, thank you for coming to see me. Now they don't want me to come to see them. I used to go to people's house and they would just fall all over themselves that the preacher would actually come to their house. Now they fall all over themselves to keep me from coming to their house. What has happened? There's a willingness that we've lost the willingness to heed the instructions because the church in its opportunities did not heed the instructions the way God said it. They accuse us of being no better than the Washington swamp who patronizes their own, protects their own, hides the deeds of their own that are wrong. But let me tell you, God is light, and God and light make manifest, and they are transparent by very nature. Let me prove that to you. You say, "Brother, I don't believe it." That's good. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. If you believe the Bible at all and credibility, here it is. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light." And here's the part you ought to underline, color, circle. "For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." The word manifest means to reveal, not to hide. Opposite of hide. It's to reveal. When I get up here and confess that my wife and I had a row, it makes you feel better. I don't really want to confess my faults, but I know that when I confess my faults to you, because I don't lie to you, we actually did have a row. I'm just being general now. But I mean, I have some rows sometimes. Can you believe this? Sometimes I get angry. Sometimes I get unreasonable. Could you believe that in this last 10 days I had to apologize to my wife? But when I confess my faults to you and tell you that I'm struggling in an area, or I have struggled or failed in an area, we identify. We become one with each other. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like you. I have the old, let me tell you, I told my wife the other day, I'm getting old and I'm getting a little more tired than I used to be, but the old man's as good as he ever was. I mean, talking about the old nature. He's as strong today as he was when he was 18 years old. And so you got a battle going on. It ain't going to let you go till you get to go on the other side. Amen. It helps to identify doing it God's way. So the very nature of light is to make manifest. You can't argue with that. That's just as solid Bible as you're going to get. Everything is open to God. The Bible says it this way, Hebrews 4:13, "Neither is any creature is not made manifest in his sight." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." It said in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus' word says that every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account of in the day of judgment. Now, from those four verses alone, I can tell you, you may hide it and get away with hiding something on this side, but you ain't hiding it on that side. And if you want to be right with God, you need to be transparent on this side, because you're getting ready to be transparent over there. Brother, when you get up here and confess your faults one to another, and you're open one to another, and you're not, and you understand that you fail and others fail, the devil don't have any ammunition. Somebody could walk through that door and say, "Pastor Bill, I saw him act ugly." And I say, "Brother, nothing I haven't confessed." No. We're to rebuke the hidden things of darkness rather than to hide them, right? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what the book says. You know, sometimes I'll do something and I'll stop and I'll say, "Lord, in the name of Jesus, I renounce that. I renounce that in the name of Jesus. That's wrong." I told you this illustration before, because I've told you everything before, if you've been here long. And I was at my mailbox. Do you know what a mailbox is, young people? Well, anyway, I was at a mailbox. I'm not talking on your phone. And I received a magazine in that mailbox. Somebody graciously sent me a Playboy. Could have been a Penthouse. I don't remember which. But usually on the front cover of those, there's some provocative picture. And so I was into picking my mail up, and I picked that Playboy up. And I know you're going to have a hard time believing this, but there was a part of me that wanted to look at that. There was a part of me that wanted to look at that. And I could feel that part of me going, "Ooh, this is going to be good." And then that other part of me goes, "Oh, you're holding death in your hand." Because what is the end of sin? Death. And so that other part of me said, "Hold that thing up." There's nobody around. I mean, there's nobody around. I said, "Hold that thing up in the air and renounce it." And I said, "Okay." And I held that thing up in the air, and if you'd looked at me, you thought, this guy's going crazy. I held it up in the air and I said, in Jesus' name, I renounce this. Threw it away. Never opened it. My brother, I don't know about you, but I think I need to get that bold. If we would just practice God's methods and obey His will, the world will listen to us more than it does today. The church would be purged of wolves. The pew would be in fear of the Lord. And transparency of life would prevail, which is humility. Understand what I'm saying? What if the church had taken this to heart as a whole? That leadership, that sin was rebuked before all. Members of the local church, that sin got up before and confessed their faults one to another. By the way, some of the greatest times here at the gospel have been when our people got burdened of the Holy Spirit and began confessing their faults. At one time years ago, we had five different women ask me to get up before this church and confess they had been sexually abused as a child and that they wanted to be free. That was in their early life, and when they did that, they were all five of those girls were in their 30s. They said, I want to be free of this once and for all. I said, you can be free. Take it out of the closet. And they did. And every one of them told me, I'm free. The devil's got nothing on me anymore. My perpetrator's got nothing on me anymore. By the way, publicly, they forgave their perpetrator. Boy, I thought that was big. I forgive my such and such that did this to me. I forgive him. I said, you're free. Free. See, the perpetrator keeps a hold of you through your bitterness. But if you forgive, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, you get free. And trust me, when you're free, you're light. You're light, you're airy, you're free. It's beautiful. You say, preacher, it's just not the way I am. And I know that that's true. Because none of us relish transparency. None of us likes to have our faults revealed. We feel some sort of a perverted, twisted comfort by the fact that you did something nobody knows about. It's God's nature, however, to bring in light, to reveal, to rebuke, and then to forgive, by the way, to heal. Now, if I may use an illustration, I'll close at this. Is that not what medicine does? Is that not what the medical field does? It identifies a disease. It attacks a disease. Identifying is the confession part. Identifying it. It doesn't hide it. It says, you got it. The first step of getting cured of cancer is finding the cancer. You got it. And then it attacks the disease. It eradicates the disease. It cures the patient. It warns the spectators, this could happen to you. It improves the health of the whole body. It shows the world we have something that's worth their attention, that we are indeed not like them, but we're the children of light. We're the salt of the world. We are like God in some measure because we're following Him and obeying His word and have His blessed, blessed Holy Spirit. I want to be different than the world. I don't want to copy their stuff. And this is a caveat or an addendum. I don't want to be like them. I want to be like God. And consequently, that makes, I don't want to do what they do, say what they say, watch what they watch. I don't want their music. I don't want their stuff, their junk, because the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You'll be glad you obeyed God. In the end, you'll be glad you obeyed God. Maybe there's something that has held you captive this morning. It's just held you captive. Could be some sort of a thing that you were abused as a young child. You've just never really gotten right, gotten that thing settled. That thing has come back on you in the night. It's bothered you. You can get it. You can beat it. Maybe it's something else. I can tell you, I feel so sorry for people that are out there this morning or doing some secret sin as a born-again Christian, and they're thinking somehow they're going to get away from that, but you worship and you serve a God of transparency. You serve and worship a God of light. You serve and worship a God of manifestation. He don't like to hide stuff, and he has a way of making it come public. It's best if we do. When John the Baptist was baptizing, before he baptized, the Bible says they came confessing their sins. And when they did that, they showed him transparency and humility, and he baptized them. Pharisees came to him. They didn't have any sins to confess. And he says, I'm not going to baptize you. Why? He said, bring forth first the fruits of repentance. What are the fruits of repentance? I've done wrong. I confess I have done. Brother, until you get there, God can't have much to do with you. Father, help us this morning. Give us wisdom from heaven to understand this. Father, as we mine through this, as our mind reviews it, as the Holy Spirit reviews it, may you guide each one and each born-again Christian in this room do as the Holy Spirit would lead them to do. Father, we pray, oh, we pray, that we would be free from this old world and its condemnation. Father, we pray that you would just move up and down these chairs, as I know you will. Free some folks. Free them. Help us, O Father, as a church, to be a light to this community in Benita and Estero and Naples. To be real, to be honest, to confess our faults one to another, but to always go back to God and fall at His feet for mercy. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.
If you would like to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why don't you do it right now? It's simple, really. Here's a couple of Bible verses that'll help you to understand. Probably the most well-known verse in all of Scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse says, whosoever believeth. The whosoever is you. But the whosoever believes what? Number one, you need to understand that you are a sinner. God says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, you need to understand that nothing that you can do, getting baptized, belonging to a church, going to a church, donating money, while all good things, they will not satisfy a just God. God says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, he saved us. And number three, you need to understand that Jesus died for your sins. He was buried and resurrected the third day. And if you believe that, God promised in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Your prayer of confession could go like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner unworthy of your mercy, but ask for your mercy and your forgiveness. I know I can't get to heaven on my own, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and resurrected the third day that I might be saved and have a new life. Save me, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you ask Jesus to save you, would you do me a favor? Let us know so that we can pray for you and rejoice with you. Our church phone is 239-947-1285. The website is www.gospelbaptistchurch.com or go to iTunes podcast at gospelbaptistchurch.com.